and welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rainer, where we equip churches to move from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Revitalize and Replant is brought to you by the North American Mission Board.
We've been having some really good conversations with Kevin Ezell and Mark Clifton. As we are now moving to this post-pandemic era, different churches will be at different states. Some of you will still be in home with no in-person services. Some of you are gradually moving in that direction. But the reality of it is, it's still very much a transition time. And probably all of 2020 is going to be some kind of transition time. So we're going to talk about a very specific story. Mark Clifton is being considered, as we speak, is being considered to be the pastor of a 3-member church. He's been kind of waiting, sitting on pins and needles, trying to see if the call is going to come officially, but we'll talk about that. Before we begin, Revitalize and Replant is sponsored by the North American Mission Board and churchreplanters.com. As we continue to say week after week after week, with 10% of the churches at the risk of closing, maybe a few more these days, the North American Mission Board wants to keep them open. As Kevin Ezell has said in some earlier podcasts, call us if you're about to close and you don't give your building away, talk to us first. But not only keeping churches open, but replanting and increasing the birth rate. You want to learn more about this? Become a replanting pastor, whatever. Explore resources. Go to churchreplanters.com. Mark, I need to go get my popcorn. Because this is going to be too enjoyable not to just sit back and enjoy this story. So, give us the background.
I'm not going to give you the name of the church because as we are making this podcast, they have not yet voted. Okay, so my prom date hasn't responded yet, whether she's coming or not. So to the prom or not. So it's one of those things. You don't know how often you should call them and ask them, you know, you kind of let them, you don't want to appear too anxious, you know? So I'm waiting to hear back. So I'm not going to give you the name of the church or anything like that, but here's the deal. A couple of years ago, I was the transitional pastor of a church in the Metro Kansas City area. And there were, in that church, was a real estate agent. Well, this real estate agent, her husband called me about 3 or 4 weeks ago and said, hey, this church invited my wife to come over. They're putting their building up for sale. And he told me about the community and about the church, and the community needs a church. It's a small town, less than 1,000 people. And this is the only Baptist church in the community, only one of 3 churches in the entire community.
Wow.
And it's right across the street from an elementary school. All right. I mean, literally. And right next door to this church, they tore down 2 old houses and they built 2 brand new spec homes. So there's some new construction going on. So long story short, they said, as the real estate agent was talking to this church, they said, you know, you have options besides closing. Now, they weren't, at the time, they weren't Southern Baptist. They were Baptist, but not Southern Baptist. So they didn't know about all the great things that that NAM does. And so she began to tell them all the things that the North American Mission Board could do to help dying churches. And they were extremely interested. So they called me and I went over about 2 weeks ago, met with the 3 remaining members. Literally, there are 3 remaining members. And I met with them and shared with them how we could come alongside, replant this thing from within and what that would look like. And basically, I said, the simplest way would be for you to, if you would, just to call me as your pastor right now. And then we would vote to come into the Southern Baptist Convention. And then I said, I've got some churches that I've already lined up that would be delighted to be your sponsoring churches. And then we would vote to make ourselves under the direction of these sponsoring churches. And they were very affirming of that and said, this is great. We've been praying that something like this might happen. We had no idea somebody would care for us and, you know, would be willing to help us. They said, we do need to send out letters to any members that might still be out there that, you know, we don't know about that are not active. We don't want to make this legit.
Any members that we may not know about. Yeah. So there's an ecclesiological problem going on here, Mark.
I think what they meant is there's a lot of people that haven't been coming for a long time, but they may still be members. Yes. And so they're going to do something this drastic. They want to make sure. So anyway, I'm just waiting by the phone and the email to hear whether or not I've been selected. I'm really anticipating I will, and I'm really, frankly, looking forward to it. Because here's the deal, Dr. Rainer. There are a lot of churches that are in hibernation during COVID. Churches that were near death. And now that's what this church was. They had an interim pastor. And when COVID came, they said, well, we're just done. We're not going to come out of this. We might as well go ahead and sell the building, liquidate the assets, and we're just done. This is not a unique story. And so if there are churches listening, or you know of churches that are in hibernation, they're not doing anything on social media, they're just sort of, this man, don't close your doors. Reach out to us. There are people that want to help you.
Absolutely. And when you say reach out to us, I know you don't want to go to church. What is a public place of contact for them?
Well, frankly, you can just say replant@nam.net.
Replant@nam.net.
And this was not a Southern Baptist church when it reached out to us. So, you know.
Well, obviously, if the North American Mission Board is going to be the sponsor behind it, it'd have to be a part of the denomination like this
would
be.
But we're finding a lot of churches that theologically and doctrinally align totally with the Baptist Faith and Message. They had never really seen the Baptist Faith and Message, so I downloaded it and showed it to them in the meeting. They went through it, said, this is exactly what we believe. And so they were very much aware of that. And yeah, so I mean, there are a lot of churches that theologically and doctrinally align, and they would be interested. Now, this is a good time if you're sort of isolated and alone and don't have anybody to help you. Southern Baptist, we want to see churches come back to life. We are willing to put ourselves on the line to reclaim dying churches.
We have a second point, and it's the point of hope. In fact, we're going to have an entire podcast coming up shortly with you and me about why pastors should have hope in the post-pandemic era as we're moving into this next phase. Isn't this a good example to you? It's not rhetorical. I do want you to respond. Isn't this a good example to you of that there's no such thing as a hopeless church if you have three members in a building?
Right. That's absolutely true. And these three members, I want you to know, are faithful members. They have been working for years in this church through a lot of difficulty and hardship, and they're tired. I mean, they are completely exhausted and worn out, and they just don't know where to turn and what to do. And they had run out of options as they'd seen the options, but they've been praying. And here, you know, the Lord brings a real estate agent who knows a replanter and connects them to that. And so now, and then I've got relationships with other churches in the region that are willing to help replant this church. And these three individuals were like, this is what we've been praying for. And look, I say it all the time. Jesus has a plan for every church. And, you know, sometimes that plan might be to close the doors, liquidate the assets, and give the assets to another ministry opportunity and move on. But most of the time, Dr. Rainer, that church still has a field to reach. There are still people to reach, just like in this community. There are still lost and unchurched people all around that church that need to be reached. And Jesus still has a plan for that church, and he's not through with it. I walked in there, and they had pictures of their first church. It was like 1911. It was a little tiny wooden building they built in that town in 1911. The church has been there for like 110 years in that community. And I just don't believe for one minute that God is done with this church. He's not. And some of its greatest days are going to be yet ahead. So, yes, there is hope for all churches, and this is an absolute indication of that. And if this church does indeed call me to be their pastor and we get to work there replanting it, then you and I can talk about this process, what it means to bring a church like that in a small town.
Revitalizing Replant can, yeah, this will be like some kind of PBS podcast where we can just watch it go step by step. Man, that'd be exciting.
Right. Well, instead of this old house, we'll have this old church. So yeah. We'll bring it back.
Man, that is a series in the making, and I think you have all the marks of a good actor as we move forward. Talk about the church facility. We want to talk overall why church facilities are important, because some people, Mark, have you ever heard this, the church is the people and not the building? I don't know if you've ever heard
that. Wait a minute, let me write that down. The church is the people.
Not the building.
And not the building. You mean the church isn't the building?
Well, that's what I've been told, Mark.
Changes everything. I'm sorry. everything I believe about ecclesiology has been drastically changed with it. Of course, I know the church is not the building.
But the church facility can be important in many contexts, not all contexts, but in many contexts. So the first thing I want you to do is just talk to us about this old church building. Let's talk about the three-member church building. What's it like?
Yeah. Well, this one actually, like a lot of wooden church buildings, thanks be to God, they burned a couple of times. And oh. So,
this is taking so many directions I never anticipated.
You had wood stoves, and you know, the church was vacant for a few days a week, and things caught on fire. So a number of times, these 120-year-old churches have gone through three different buildings because they burned. And sure enough, this one, I don't know if it burned or not, but they've had a couple of buildings. And the one they're in now was actually built in the mid-1960s, late 1960s. And so it's a very appropriate building, has a nice little kitchen area, good fellowship hall area, some Sunday school rooms area, really nice little sanctuary that seats about 150 people. And wow. as I said, it is absolutely across the street from an elementary school, literally. And now it adjoins a couple of new houses, and then up the street from them are about 12 or 14 new houses. And so that's really important for that reason. First, it's a great facility in a community for that. But secondly, Dr. Rayner, that church has been there for 110 years saying, we believe the gospel, we believe that our God is powerful, that he reigns, that he rules, that the Bible is true. But then what's it say to that community after 100 years or so, and then that church closes its doors?
Never mind.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit more about church facilities. And you and I say tongue in cheek, the church is the people, not the building, because hardly a day goes by that someone does not remind us of that profound theology, which
as if we've never heard it before.
But I got to tell you, when I hear it, Mark, they say it with utmost sobriety. I mean, did you know that the church is the people, not the building?
I like the ones that when I say we're going to church, remind me, you can't go to church. You are the church. My favorite.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I'm just finished a book with a 2021 release called Where Have All the Church Members Gone? And I'm going through that manuscript. Oh, they'll get me on that one. Oh, I talked about going to church. Oh, I got to check out. I'm thinking about all the social media harassment that happens when every time we talk about going to church. Talk about the church facility. And I'll my bias is evident, and I'll just simply say this. The church is not the church unless at least some aspect of the church is the church gathered. And the church gathered means they are somewhere. In some places, they may be under a tree, but in many places, they are in a building as the church gathered.
Well, they are. And the church building is a great tool for ministry. I mean, that's what we have to look at it. It is not just a building where people come for a couple hours a week. It's a place, as I looked at this building and I began to talk to these folks, I said, man, Wednesday nights, we could have all kinds of children's activities. We could distribute food out of this building. We could have free Wednesday night meals because there's some poverty in this community. We could do things after school across the street from the school. There are all kinds. There's probably a lot of groups and organizations in that town, maybe quilters clubs and other things that we need a place to meet. They got a nice fellowship hall. There are no stairways. People can come right in. I mean, there's many things we could use this building for.
Wait a minute. Was your example a quilters club?
Quilters club. Yes. You know, I use quilting a lot in these podcasts. I bring those up for some reason. I'm not sure why. It's sort of like every time I use the word quilt, my team at North American Mission Board gives me a few points for seeing how I can work that into a conversation with you.
Okay. So yeah, the building is a tool for ministry. I just wrote that down. I'm going to expand on it and some of the things I say in the future as well. It's not just a place for the gathered church.
No.
That is one thing it is, but it's also a tool for ministry. And you just...
When I was at Warnell Road Baptist Church in Kansas City, big building, you know, seated 400 people, had a three-story education space. We had 18 people when I arrived there. The only asset they had for ministry was the building. They had no money. And most of their people were elderly and couldn't really function the way they had functioned in their younger life. And some of them weren't even really able to come to church much anymore. So the building was their asset. And so they had a building use policy notebook, Dr. Rayner. It was about a 3-ring binder, about 2 inches wide, that they'd had for decades. And so I said, well, here's our new building use policy. Actually, I threw that one away in a trash can sort of symbolically. And I said, here's our new building use policy. Is it legal? Is it biblical? Does it glorify God? And do the pastors want to do it? And basically, that's our building use policy. If it's legal, if it's biblical, if it glorifies God and the pastors and the leaders believe we should do it, we use the building for it. So we open it up to all kinds of organizations in town. We open it up to all kinds of other ministry activities in our city. We just make it available to people. And when we did that, that building became the center point of how that church became revitalized, because we let other churches use it. It became an incubator for new church plants. We had 9 new church plants that got incubated in that building. Wow. And then launched out. Wow. We had a family counseling center in there. In the summertime, we'd have a day camp for mentally challenged teenagers. We had, in the summertime, we had a retired music teacher who would teach band classes to kids for free in the summer so they could stay up on all their music. It's amazing if you just think about what you can do with a building. You've heard me talk about it before. One of our guys up in Wisconsin took a few rooms in the building and put some washers and dryers in it because there wasn't a laundromat in the town. And so people who didn't have washers or dryers could come to the church and do their laundry. You've got to think like that. Like I said, we do the birthday party rooms. Take one of the Sunday school rooms, paint it up all bright and cool. Let everybody in town know if your kid needs a place to have a birthday party, you can come and have it at our church. And one of our members will be there to host you. And it's just a tremendous. And I looked at this building right across the street in the school in a town that has no real community center or anything like that. This would be perfect to have those kinds of activities.
Give me a little more information on the demographics. It sounds like there's gentrification taking place, some buildings going down, new homes going up. So some level.
A little bit. It's a town, really, I said, of less than 1,000 people between 2 metropolitan areas. It's about 15 miles from one metropolitan area and about 30 miles from another metropolitan area. So you've got 2 kinds of people in this town, right? You've got older folks who've lived in this town all their life, and you've got a handful of farmers. And then you have all these people who are basically city people who want to live in a small town or have 2 acres and 5 acres. And so they've moved out there. So that's making the demographics a little bit difficult, because it's on that suburban fringe that is both old farmers and older people and very ingrained culture. And then all these new folks who have moved in from the city and want to have on 2 acres and 5 acres and kind of have some place to spread out. And so there's pretty diverse population in that regard. And you're right, some of the older homes in town are being torn down, and then you build new homes that are really far more expensive than the ones next door to them. So that's one of the reasons I'm sure the church has struggled, because as the community began to change and evolve, it was hard for the church probably to keep up with that.
This is a classic exurban in the sense that it's a suburban fringe, not in suburbia. I'm beginning to visualize it even as you talk. Final point we want to bring up before we go. There's always been an abundance of adoption or replanting for your nomenclature opportunities, and they're being highlighted and accentuated over the pandemic and going into the post-pandemic era. They've always been there, but we need to remember these options are available, and you're a 3-member church if you get voted in. As you stay up every night, losing sleep, wondering, will this happen? And as you and the missus pray together that it might be God's will that these doors begin to open. If that happens, this is an example of just another adoption availability or another replanting option available.
Absolutely. And one last thing I do want to say about buildings. I really am a firm believer that in communities, and I think especially now during the pandemic and as we come out of it, people understand the importance of a sacred space in a community. And I think a church building sort of emphasizes that it's we know the building is not the church, not the church. The church is the people. But the building represents to the community the presence of the church. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's a visible daily presence of the church, a visible daily presence of a sanctuary place in that community. And you don't want to lose those. Those are really important to the psyche, to the whole culture of the community. And so we want to make sure we hang on to those. And so when they were talking about selling this building, it wasn't going to be sold probably to another church. It probably sold somebody that would tear it down and build some new homes there. And then you don't have that sacred space, that place where people can gather, and that place that basically says the whole community, this is a place where people who claim the gospel gather on a weekly basis because they love Jesus and they love the community. So we don't want to lose those sacred spaces. I'm very passionate about that.
Do you have some decent acreage?
It does not.
does not. So but, you're limited there, but it's still a place where there's probably some street parking somewhere too.
Across the street at the elementary school, all the parking you'd possibly need.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we want to stay in touch with you, Mark Clifton. We want to go chapter by chapter through the saga of Mark and the three-member church, and we want to hear what's happening. We'll be praying that this call comes. We'll be praying that the doors open and that you will get some sleep as you anticipate this move about to happen.
I've already designed the church logo. I just want you to know that.
Oh, you're so far ahead.
So we're now, you know, that's half of the work right there of the Holy Spirit. It's well, just Mark, having the right logo.
I want you to know the church is the people. It's not the logo. Okay. Always thank you for joining us on Revitalize and Replant. It's good to be back. For those of you who don't know, Mark and I have been separated during this pandemic. The last time we did this, it was just on the not quite on the beginning edge of it. We're able to record some together at Church Answers, but not now. We're still in somewhat of a quarantine that we're beginning to move out of it in Franklin, Tennessee. But continue to be with us. We'll be talking to Mark in the next few weeks on just a couple of fascinating topics. Why your church needs you, Pastor, more than ever during this post-pandemic era, and five reasons pastors should have hope in the post-pandemic era. We'll see you again, and thank you, North American Mission Board and ChurchReplanters.com for being our sponsor. Always join us at Revitalize and Replant and subscribe on wherever you watch or listen to this podcast, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, wherever. Give us a rating and review, and we'll continue to help churches replant and get healthier together.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rainer. If you'd like to learn more about re-energizing your church to reach your community, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Google Play or in your favorite podcasting app. For additional resources on church leadership and to join the conversation online, visit TomRainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.